There is a nice verse in the Mahabharata. I personally liked it very much. Very nice concept. Again, this is a discussion between Bhishma and Yudhishthira Maharaj. It talks about the essence. Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking some questions and Bhishmadev, he explains how everything has an essence and that also has some essence. Very interesting. If you analyze nicely, I did this with our children in the Gopal's garden. He says, what is the essence of the Vedas? No, this is now you should know, Yudhishthira Maharaj is already a devotee. The whole discussion begins with this platform that it is understood they are devotees. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to remind somebody who is always absorbed in Krishna. But now he has been given a responsibility of becoming a king. Does devotee have a responsibility to this world or no? Are we responsible or no? Yes. Anyone who accepts Varnashram Dharma, he has a responsibility. You are responsible for the society, responsible for your surrounding. If you are living in Varnashram Dharma, you are responsible. You can't avoid that responsibility. Pure devotional service means Shravanam and Kirtanam. Only that too. That's all. Nothing else. But if you are accepting Varna Dharma, then you have to be responsible. Varna Dharma while keeping Krishna in the center. So that is understood. So here, one concept of Vedic, essence of the Vedas is Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita. But there is another concept. That the essence of the Veda is truth. One is absolute truth, Param Satya or Satya. And both are taking us to the same direction. Because the foundation is Krishna in Varnashram Dharma. That if Vedic scripture do not lead us towards the truthfulness, because that is the one religion, the only one leg of religion which is still standing. So therefore Vedas have to lead us to that truth. Therefore in elsewhere Bhishmadev says, studying Shastra and learning Shastra but not understanding Shastra. He said learning Shastra without understanding is like a intellectual hamal. He's a coolie. We discussed that. He's carrying a lot of burden on his head. All the Shastra is there. The Yudhishthira Maharaj says, how do you know somebody has studied Shastra? He said, not by his learned presentation. Yudhishthira says, one can know who has learned Shastra is that by his behavior. He has a proper behavior. He said, that is how one can understand that he knows Shastra. So that is the truth is revealed, one who studied Shastra. And what is the essence of truth? This is very, it becomes very interesting. The essence of truth is sense control. Let's see. That one may know all the truth, but if he does not understand the principle of sense control, that was the topic which Devamrita Swami spoke on Sunday morning Bhagavatam class, that if you don't have Indriya Sayam, then you don't have truth. You may know about the truth. Like Dhritarashtra. If you read Dhritarashtra's prayers when Akrur visited Hastinapur in the Bhagavatam, you know, he's torn apart in this duality. Knowing very well Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing very well Krishna is supporting the Pandavas, still is attached to his sons. Why? Because he lacks sense control. Many parents go through this. They see that children are blackmailing them. No. It is not only Dhritarashtra's story. We deal with parents, we deal with children. They actually blackmail their parents, and parents have nothing. They absolutely cannot do anything. Not that they cannot do anything, because they can't do anything. Because why? Because their situation is also like Dhritarashtra's situation only. They see very clearly their children are doing wrong and royally doing wrong, and the parents cannot do anything about it. They cannot do anything. They pay money to them. They make them perform sinful activity. Why? Because sense control is not there. So therefore, the essence of truth is in sense control. Indriya nigra. And then, very interesting where it goes. And highest Indriya nigra, according to Yudhishthir again, he explained, Bhishma explains, Indriya nigra, sometimes people feel that Indriya nigra means fasting. You know, doing long fast, 10 days, 15 days. We have difficulty one day fast also. So Bhishma Dev says, upvas e keval sharir ko shoshan karna hai. Fasting is nothing but exploiting and destroying the body. He said, that is not upvas. What is upvas? He said, upvas means indriya nigra. Sayam yane ki apne vacha shakti ke upar niyantaran rakhna. Especially not becoming angry. I said, that is the greatest indriya nigra. More than sex. And therefore, most sadhus, or many sadhus, they have controlled their sex life, but they cannot control their anger. I remember one brahmachari would always tell me, if you see any brahmachari getting angry, he said, that is the expression of unfulfilled lust. He said, he's so lusty, but he cannot fulfill it, so he's expressing through his anger. This devotee would tell. Krodha is called as Kamanuja. Anger brother of lust. There were many. 11th canto, we read that. All the demigods, they praise Lord Narayan. He said, all great sages, they cross over the ocean of all temptation, but they drown into the puddle of water, which is as big as the hoof of the calf's hoof, friend. They drown in that, in the principle of anger. So therefore here, very interesting, Indriya Sayam is not in regards to, because one can fast according to one's prakriti. Somebody is some prakriti, he can fast. Or somebody can handle winter. Sometimes we see, you know, some of our grahasthas, even in winter, they don't wear sweater. That doesn't mean that they're controlling their senses. Why? Because body is made differently. So one can handle different kind of, you know, situation. One can handle heat, one can handle winter. But real Indriya Nigra means, how do you handle the provoking situation, not becoming angry? And Bhishma says that is real sense control, not simply fasting. Indriyam Kasayam. And what could be the essence of Indriya Nigra? Please guess. What happens when you control your senses? What comes out of that sense control? Huh? No? No? Huh? No, it's a good one. Indriya nigra karne se, according to this step by step principle. Huh? Everybody is thinking from their own point of view. What happens when you do Indriya nigra? You become charitable. Yes, see? The essence of sense control is that you become charitable. Very interesting. Unless one is sense controlled, he cannot be charitable. If there is a cake, nice prasadam. And if you are attached to that cake, you cannot give it to others. It is not possible. Gaur Gadadhar Prabhu told another one managerial point also here, that he said, unfortunately, some bhogas are being stolen now. Some chocolate was made for Radha Gopinath. Yeah, that shows that he, without even being offered to Radha Gopinath, that was stolen. Very risky. Better you assume that this is not being offered, even if you see Tulsi on that. Unless it's very dangerous. Indriya nigra nahi ho, to daan to hoga nahi, chori hoga. Just see how precisely Bhishma Dev says, only those who have controlled senses, only they can give charity. Therefore, where a job, where people's relationship is involved, why people don't want to become teachers? Even after being paid, the job of a teacher, daan, jo vidya daan karna hai, uske liye tanka lena ye chandal ki vritti hai. Anybody who takes money to give education, it is worse than chandal. Now, even after being paid, people don't want to become teachers. Why? Because a teacher requires great amount of sense control. Like I took some boys to, you know, children to our Sihagad fort. And one boy from Pune, he's in 4th standard. And he was talking to me. Very intelligent boy, very sweet boy. He said, Prabhuji, mi ekda maja mitrabar challo hoto, ani maja shaletli teacher bhetli. Mi itna greet kelo, ma maja mitrana vicharla ti teacher hai ka model hai. So he said, usne kaha ki ye teacher hai ya model hai. हमने हमारे टीचर से मिले रास्ते में जाते समय, तो टीचर को मैं ग्रीट किया, तो मेरे मित्र ने कहा, ये टीचर है क्या मॉडल है? Who is she? Is he teacher or a model? Now if you analyze carefully, why people don't want to become teacher? Because being a teacher means giving yourself. When you give yourself to others, where is the question of having your own self for you? Any other job, any other profession involves, you know, dealing with things. But the job of a teacher involves giving your own self. Therefore, teacher's life is life of extreme degree of simplicity. You can't think about eating, you can't think about sleeping, you can't think about anything else but, you know, preparing, giving a culture to the child. Therefore, even after being paid, one of the biggest challenge in our school, there are only girls, no men only. They are actual girls, huh? They are not Matajis. Unmarried girls mostly, therefore they can't have men teacher. And what is the nature of women? The nature of women is to spend so much of time, you know, doing deity worship. So therefore, you cannot give charity. Unless you have controlled your senses, you cannot be a charitable person. Very interesting point. Only when somebody has sense control, then he can be charitable. That's the next principle. And when you perform, what could be the essence of charity? Charity karne se kya ho sakta hai? What is the essence of charity? What happens when you perform charity? Huh? Yeah, everything is correct. What you are saying is all correct because we are all philosophers. But we are looking from here. Somebody can guess. What happens when you start doing charitable activities? Take for example a preacher. Famous. No, you all experience it when you start doing charitable activity, when you start giving Krishna consciousness to others. Charity ka sare tapasya. You know, when you start doing charity, take for example, as a devotee, when you start preaching to people, people start coming to you. They come with their baggage of their conditioning. When they take to Krishna consciousness, you become very happy. But when they start revealing their heart to you, their troubles, their difficulties, their problems, do you have the ability to handle them? Do you perform that tapasya? We discussed this. Preaching means raising people or trying to develop people who are mentally retarded and physically challenged. Means somebody who is our authority, or we become somebody else's authority, or somebody we preaches to them. If you expect them to be nice person, a number one hai, in education, in money, and this and that. So it's easier for me to develop him and make him a devotee. Then when you give that charity of education or charity of Krishna consciousness, and the expectation is not up to your thoughts, your desires, then very soon you reject that person. But from very beginning you realize that whether he is coming from best of the college, best of the families, or worst of the families, anyone who does not know anything about Krishna is a mentally retarded and physically challenged. So therefore, preaching means raising a mentally retarded child. Go and ask Vishwaroopa Prabhu's wife, what are the difficulties in raising that baby? Not baby, she is 6 years old, but she has not grown. Her body is growing, but our physical senses, the capacity to act independently has not grown. Neither our head, just like a small baby, I observe very carefully. Oh, dhulta aisa. There is no control. I can stay here like this. But a small newborn baby cannot. Aisa uska gir jata hai. Therefore, there is a helmet put to that baby. You will hear when we go to our counselor's retreat, they take that baby in a trolley and they have a helmet. Why? Because she keeps hitting her head to the trolley. So she requires all kinds of protective measures. In this way she doesn't hurt herself. Now her body is growing, but there is no control of any part of her body. What to speak of her mind, intelligence and false ego. There is no false ego. There is no intelligence. There is no mind. She will grow up becoming bigger and bigger. The body will grow, but without having any control. So the mother gave the charity of giving birth to that baby. But what a tapasya. And devotees praise her very much. Husband is running here, there, everywhere, doing his preaching and seva. She has to take care of her baby. And she does it very nicely while practicing her spiritual life also. So remember, every person who comes to you wanting to be a devotee, always look them as they are almost like mentally retarded, physically challenged. Then when you perform that tapasya of that is the fulfillment of that charity. And especially in Kali Yuga, as Devamrita Swami was explaining yesterday in Sunday, he said we require 3 years of actual treatment, psychiatric treatment for people. We don't experience so much in India, but that's going to happen eventually. People are coming with troubled mind, agitated for even small thing. That experience, pleasure, what people used to have preaching to, people with a very good mind, will be lost. So therefore, preaching will become very challenging. Daan, giving charity, will become very challenging. Like our devotees do food for life. You think it's very easy dealing with all these mahila mandals, municipality. You are doing charity from your money. Your people are working, doing everything, and they write in the newspaper. ISKCON is doing this, ISKCON is doing that. Paisa either and you go and ask your money, the rights ka paisa crore rupaye mein aana baki hai, and they will delay. And to get your money back, you have to give bribe also. Means performing charity will be exploited by others. Either the people who have received the charity, they will blame you, or those who are receiving the charity, they will exploit you. Like Krishna Chandra Prabhu, somebody asked him, said, Prabhuji, you are so liberal in giving charity. What if devotees misuse you? He said, because devotees misuse me, if I stop giving charity, the purpose of my business will be lost. Just because if I become doubtful, are mere ko exploit karenge. He said, that is maya. Fearing that people will exploit, therefore I will not do my duty. He said, that is not right. So a very, very interesting point this is, that tapasya indriya sayam se dan se tapasya ki utpatti hoti. That charity one has to, that tapasya one has to continue to perform. Questions afterwards? Tapasya. Tapasya ka sar kya ho sakta hai? What could be the essence of tapasya? Huh? No, it's going higher and higher. In the middle it becomes more difficult, and eventually, you know, ultimately there is greatest pleasure. But abhi bhi thoda, journey is always difficult one. Tapasya ka sar kya ho sakta hai? Huh? Knowledge? What else? Renunciation? You're very close. What is another word for renunciation? No, one more. Tyag, right, very good. Sacrifice. The essence of tyaga, essence of tapasya is tyaga. Sacrifice. Just see, when you perform that tapasya of taking care, naturally what comes from there? It comes sacrifice. You have to sacrifice so much, as I mentioned. The best teachers are the teachers who give everything of their own selves to others. There is no time for themselves. There is no time for themselves. Absolutely no time. Because by performing that sacrifice of charity, you perform sacrifice tyag. It's like tapasya brings tyaga, sacrifice more and more. Just being a devotee, you know, I remember I was very clear when I joined the ashram that I'll not become a preacher, because I knew I'll not become a preacher because there is no qualification. Preaching is meant for others. I had my very clear goals. I will not interact with people. Because, you know, the people who come here in Bombay, you know, we come from a small village. So, interacting with this, you know, very high society people, I said, what will I gain from them? And what will they give to me? So, very clear. You know, I'll stay in my backup room, serve, you know, as a servant, and only associate with the brahmacharis. That's all. Minimize association. Therefore, if you see the old videos, you'll never see me only. Because I would never go to the program. But just being here, you are forced to, you know, take some responsibilities. Interact with people whom you never imagine you would ever interact. So therefore, you know, this, everybody has to go through this. So the responsibility keeps on increasing. As the responsibility increases, and you have no time for yourself. Just getting to read, sit and read for a few hours, leisurely, Srimad Bhagavatam, it becomes a dream. Like Maharaj was mentioning when he came back. You know, this time when he went to Pune Yatra, Both ways, he did not take anybody. He traveled alone. While going, he said, I don't want any servants to come. And while coming back, he told me, he said, can you arrange some car for Damodar Dulal? He said, I don't want anybody to come. I said, Maharaj, at least one devotee. He said, Daruk is a devotee. He told us also, he said, when I come from, you know, when I come from Delhi, Calcutta, he said, when people stand at the gate, staring at my face, he said, that's such an austerity. He said, why can't I walk alone to my room without being met by anybody? Why can't I have that luxury? He said, when I went to Kolhapur, he was saying, people should know, as you grow, you have no life. Somebody takes your life away. He said, when I went to Kolhapur, he said, I wanted to lie down from Aravade to Kolhapur for the flight, take rest. But I see one devotee here, one devotee in the behind. He said, what they expect now, they expect me to talk. But how much can I talk? Wherever you go, you have no place to hide. Your life is exposed. I was remembering, a sadhu's life is like that story of a mystic yogi who by pulling out his hair could award something to people. Apne baal khich kar kisi ko dene se use kuch siddhi prapt ho jate. तो लोगों ने देखा, अरे इसके बाल में इतना दम है. तो क्या किया, एवरीबडी केम एंड विदाउट हैविंग एनी फीलिंग फॉर हिम दे स्टार्टेड पुलिंग आउट हिज हेयर. किसको इधर का बाल नहीं मिला तो पैर का बाल निकाला. यू कैन इमेजिन व्हाट मस्ट हैपेंड. एवरी हेयर ऑन हिज बॉडी वाज पुल्ड टू द एक्सटेंट वेयर ही हैड टू गिव अप हिज बॉडी बाय द मियर वायलेंस क्रिएटेड बाय पीपल. Exactly, that is the situation of a life of a sadhu. They want him to eat prasad. They want him to come to their home. They want him to feed their newborn baby. They want him to name their newborn baby. They want him to do hajamgiri of their newborn baby also. They want him to go for marriage. Now to divorce bhi ho jata hai, phir uske liye bhi jana padta hai. At least before there used to be only one marriage. Now there are marriages, you know, one marriage, then the marriage second time after divorce. And that also sadhu has to go. And if he doesn't go, then they feel sorry, you know, he did not come. First of all, they are breaking dharma by remarrying. And plus they expect sadhu to come. So I told Maharaj, I will never take sannyas only for this reason. I'll better be a brahmachari only. Because once you take sannyas, they feel okay, now you can come to marriage. And that is the one thing I never want to do. Go to the marriage where the marriage is potentially be what? Divorce. Why should I take that sin? Why should we take sin? Just see that such a... First of all, in the Vedic literature, you know, just see how much a life a sadhu has to live where he has to compromise with the Shastric principle also. A sadhu, a renunciate, has nothing to do with marriage. He has nothing to do with social function. He has nothing to do with pleasing people on a material platform. The Shastra says, you know, this we can discuss among the brahmacharis. The Shastra says, a sannyasi, the renunciate's main goal is to purify his heart. And through the purified heart, send a vibration of purity to others. He is not interested in, you know, making you happy. His interest is to make you purified. That is the business of a renunciate. Making happy business is meant for the rishis, those who are grahastha sadhus. They can go around, arrange marriages. They can go around, give names to the child. That is their responsibility. But a sadhu's life is what? Preaching Krishna Katha and purifying his material contamination. That's all. He has no public life. He He doesn't have to feel, okay, you know, I have to make others happy. You know, if I don't go for this function, what will he feel? That is none of his business. And people should know that. Inviting a sadhu for a social function is their loss only. And it is the loss of a sadhu also. Because what does the sadhu do? A sadhu purifies his heart and gives that charity or purity to others. Therefore, his life has to be always a life of privacy. But those who are rishis, rishis means those who are sadhus with family, living a life of simplicity, they interact with people. But just see, people say, "Nahi, brahmachari aana chahiye khane ke liye." Jabhi mera grandfather mar gaya, to aapko hi aake khana hai. And the Shastra says, just see how many things you have to come. Shastra says, eating the Pitri Bhojan is not at all good for the sadhus. Pitri Bhojan should be only given to the relatives. Not to everybody. And people don't have this Shastric understanding. Like our Shikshastakam Prabhu was saying, he went to somebody's house. They are calling him, "Prabhuji, mere bedroom bhi mein aa jao na. Mere bedroom ko bhi shuddh karo." No, just imagine, because of lack of knowledge of Shastra, lack of culture, people expect sadhus to come and go anywhere. Some sadhus, madhva sadhus, have to open hotel also. Mamsari and Shakari hotel ka ribbon kaatna padta hai. Because the Prabhus and the Pais and the Shanbags and the Kamats, they're all Brahmanas and the Malyas, you know. They are involved in selling liquors, selling meat. And still they have their connection to their Sampradaya Guru. And they expect them to come for this. Therefore they perform that tremendous sadhana. And you know, be careful about decontamination. So that is what the tapasya has to be performed. In Kali Yuga, because Varanashram is not settled properly, especially within our society, what others are supposed to do is done by the brahmacharis and the sannyasis. Social function. Going for this function, going for that function, you know, pleasing this people, pleasing that people. So people don't allow you to live your life. They start pulling your hair. So there is no privacy. That is the tapasya for performing charity. Tapasya ka saar kya hai? Tyag. Tyag yani ki you don't have a life. And what is the essence of tyag? Suicide. Try. Better one. Huh? What? Tapasya, tyag ka saar kya hai? What is the essence of tyag? No, tyag and sacrifice the same. Uska. Essence of tyag what? Helplessness. Selflessness. Tyag ka saar hai sukh. Just see. With all kind of what we discussed, after doing all that, where you don't have life for yourself, people don't allow you to live private life. They bother you. But what is the feeling of the after end of the day? The end of the day, there is a feeling of satisfaction, happiness, pleasure, that I'm living my life for others. So therefore, such sadhus, even though they are not able to perform according to Shastric injunction, you know, just giving their life to others, at the end of the day, what do they feel? They keep doing it more, basically. They don't stop. That is the power of tyaga. Because there is some kind of pleasure. There is some kind of pleasure in giving away your own facilities. You find that pleasure. Sukh ki prapti hoti hai. Like we discussed this story when we were coming back from Pune. Two brahmacharis told their stories. One brahmachari gave away something which is very rarely achieved in the professional world. Very rarely achieved. He was getting it. He and his friends applied for it. He got it. His friend did not get. His friend did not know that his friend, this devotee, got it. He was very hurt that he did not get it. And if you would come to know that my friend, who is a devotee now, usko mil gaya, that would have caused terrible pain. Not envy. This is I'll tell. So what he did, when he saw this friend is so disturbed that he has not got, and if he comes to that I have got it, he'll become more disturbed. He'll not become envious, but that pain, are mujhe mila nahi, aapko mila, I could have been with you. What he did, he went to his boss and he said, sir, can you change it? He said, what? Changing? You know what we are dealing with? He said, we are dealing with something very dangerous. He said, I cannot do it. I'll be punished severely. The severe punishment will be awarded for me. But he insisted, no, it will be between you and me. Please do it. And the guy was shocked. He said, how can you give it up? Thousands of people wait for this kind of post and you are giving it up. He said, I can't understand. He said, please. He insisted. And seeing his sincerity, he appreciated that sincerity and he took the risk also. Because if it is found out, he'll be given punishment. Change ho gaya. And that boy got that seat. And he became so happy. Till this day, that boy does not know that my friend actually sacrificed for his sake. And he said, there is some kind of pleasure. I did that. I don't regret. You don't regret a sacrifice. You regret selfishness eventually. The nature of sacrifice is that when you look back after 10 years, you will never regret. You are glad that you did it. And he's still glad. On the other hand, another devotee who's a topper in his school all the time, expecting rank in the final exam, the teacher, because of sympathy towards another student who had lost his brother, she gave first rank to this boy. He lost it. And he said he was so despondent, so angry, so upset. He would not talk to his parents also. Why I lost? How can they do like this? There is great cheating. So you are discussing. You knew that this student's brother had died. You knew that he needed sympathy. You could have offered him the rank. And you would have been satisfied. But because you are so attached to first rank, when you lost it, still you could not come to that term. You could not come to that term of, because he's suffering, therefore my teacher has given him first rank, so I should not feel sorry. No, you can never. When something is taken away by force, you cannot analyze. Only when you do yourself that analysis and sacrifice, then you feel pleasure. They said, yeah, makes so much of sense. So therefore, sacrifice has a natural outcome of being happy. Therefore, I think it was Subhash Chandra Bose's remaining people. Now they are dying also, maybe some few still living, the nationalistic army of India. They were asked, you want to still, if Subhash Chandra Bose comes again, are you willing to lay down your life? He said 100 times. 100 of times we will do that. No problem. We will do it. I think it was Churchill here. He told his people, he said, I have nothing to offer. I can only offer you sweat, blood and death. Huh? Tears. He said, that's what I can offer you. And people were so fired up. We'll do it many times. Maharaj tells that story. One of the freedom fighters of America, when he was about to be hanged, they asked him, you have anything to say? He said, I regret that. I don't have. He said, I regret that I don't have another body to offer to my country. So that is the nature of sacrifice. All the great freedom fighters, when they were dying, being hanged, just see, that is the principle of sacrifice. What to speak of sacrificing for Krishna? They had no regret. They were holding Bhagavad Gita in their hand and they were glad. He said, this body, good for nothing body, is going for the sake of my country's cause. Without any anxiety, 16-year-old boys, 14-year-old boys were willing to offer their life. Uddham Singh, when he killed General Dyer in British Parliament, when he was hanged there, absolutely, just see, they were beyond bodily concept of life. Without having the philosophy of, they were working for the bodily concept of life, you know, for their country, but when there was self-sacrifice, they were fearless. Giving of their body was not a big deal. And why can't we do that? Because the lack of principle of sacrifice. To experience the pleasure of bhakti, all these principles have to be there. Therefore I said, this is spoken to Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is already a devotee of the Lord. But still, to develop qualities which will help in developing a community, these qualities are very much required. They're very much required. So therefore, tyag ka saar hai sukh. Aur sukh ka saar kya hai? What could be the essence of sukha? Peace. Sukh ka saar hai destination. Achieving higher destination. Sometime Mahabharata calls for the highest destination as swarga. Sometime it calls as Vaikuntha. Very rarely calls Vaikuntha. There are few stories showing how Vaikuntha is higher than swarga. When you experience that joy of sacrifice, then you go to Vaikuntha. Therefore, remember one Bhagavatam lecture Maharaj mentioning that unless you are ready with all these qualities, what is the point in going to Vaikuntha? Because you will be in anxiety in Vaikuntha also. Because Vaikuntha is nothing but life of sacrifice. Like one Prabhupada's godbrother says, there is two pendulum. One is bhoga and tyaga. Not this tyaga. Tyaga is, you know, because you see, you do too much of bhoga. And it is bhaut ho gaya bhai. I don't want it now. Ab bhaut tyag ho gaya. I want bhoga now. So bhoga tyaga is not spiritual world. Dedication, service is the spiritual world. So when you come to that platform, by practicing these virtues, with the foundation of devotional service, then one will experience the spiritual world. Durvas Muni could not experience spiritual world. Why? Because he was living a life of anxiety. He saw spiritual world, but he could not go there because he was living a life of anxiety. He experienced actual free from anxiety by begging forgiveness from Amrish Maharaj, who was not on a physical level, not in the spiritual world. But he experienced that spiritual realm at the feet of Amrish Maharaj. But actually in the spiritual world, he did not experience. Therefore, only when we go through this level, when you come to the platform of complete happiness as a preacher, as a person who is a teacher, a practitioner, a preacher, then you achieve that platform of the Vaikuntha Loka. Therefore, Vaikuntha is the place where there is no anxiety. Vaikuntha means no anxiety, and Vaikuntha means where there is no limit. And the essence of that sukha, essence of that destination is Shanti. Param Shanti Gacchati. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Then you achieve the ultimate peace. Undisturbed peace. Don't think that, okay, sukha is lower than shanti. It is not like that. It is not explained like that. Because when you are equipoised, then you are not disturbed. Then your service simply increases. It's a cycle. It's a circle. The circle continues because there is no limit how much we can progress, and there is no limit how much we can go down. So therefore, let this wheel keep rolling, so that our study of Shastra increases, we understand higher levels of truth, and because we understand higher level of truth, there is a higher level of sense control, as we discussed before. Sense control of four regulative principles: no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Very small. What is this? Nothing. We have to keep expanding it. We have to keep expanding it to such an extent, as we had a long discussion in counselors meeting about eating outside food. People are going back and forth, you know. Maharaj made a very clear, said Prabhupada's books very clearly mentions. He said, devotees can eat only which is offered to Krishna. That was the end of the discussion. Anything you eat which is not offered to Krishna is bhoga. It's sin. So therefore, for someone like Raghunath Das Goswami, drinking butter was almost like breaking one of the four regulative principles. Just imagine, he expanded the horizon of the regulative principle in his life to such an extent that drinking buttermilk became a very painful situation for him. Therefore, there is no limit how much we can progress, how much we can get purified. Unlimited facilities. There is no limit how much we can be sacrificing. And there is no limit how much we can be happy. So therefore, this wheel has to keep rolling and experience greater level of purity. And there is no limit how much we can be unhappy also. Suffering, exploitative, you know, duplicitous. And that is also, there is another wheel for that. It is not one thing. The whole thing comes. And there is not only one thing. The whole thing comes. You are charitable, you have to perform tapasya. Preaching is not bed of a rose. Preaching is a difficult task. But by doing it, just see how sacrifice has the principle of happiness. You can't avoid it. Even though materially, physically, psychologically, mentally, it is very taxing, but there is some kind of pleasure. You don't know how it comes, but it comes. Right? No, it's an intoxicating. That you may want to say, okay, now I want to take a break. Main kuch nahi karunga 15 din ke liye. You end up taking so many responsibilities. Okay. Prasad ke liye bhi aunga, ye bhi karunga, wo bhi karunga. You end up doing it. Why? Because there is some kind of pleasure in that. We can't calculate it. We can't get it by our own calculative steps. You do this, you do a life of sacrifice, then it comes as what? As the result of that sacrifice. But selfishness, when you get what you want to have in your life, the pleasure is there of achieving it, but there is no happiness of, you don't experience happiness. You only feel that illusion, I have it what I wanted to have it. Therefore, Bhishma, can you imagine Bhishma is teaching Yudhishthira Maharaj this beautiful instruction. I was turning the pages to teach Niti Shastra to the children, we are doing Niti Shastra in Gopal's garden. And it just happened, I have not taken notes, therefore I came with this small notebook. And I just saw this verse. And it struck me so hard. Such a beautiful concept Bhishma is presenting to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Ved ka sar, satya hai, sat ka sar. Indriya nigraha ka sar hai. Dan, dan ka sar hai. Tapasya, tapasya ka sar hai. Tyag, tyag ka sar hai. Sukh, sukh ka sar hai. Swarg, swarg ka sar hai. Shanti. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments? Let's go, Kulananda. Essence of charity is tapasya.
Sir, the austerity is to elevate the mentally retarded people to the higher level. So I was thinking, with regards to our service in guest reception department, on one hand we have Guru Sadhu Shastra, Guru's instructions, certain policies are laid down. Then Sadhu Prabhupada says different strokes for different folks, and Shastra yad acharati shrestas. So this is on one hand. On another hand, how to apply this principle, because so many people nowadays that we come across, we meet, so they are like more or less physically mentally retarded, actually mentally retarded, and they show a little bit of interest also in Krishna consciousness. So should we really devote time to them? How to balance these two?
No, at least our attitude should be like that. Practicality, maybe you have been given different instruction how to handle, but our attitude has to be very clear. Our expectations are wrong from the core of our heart, then that is the troublesome. Who says, I think another shloka is there, one who is sincere and desperate to make advancement in spiritual culture, even if he is surrounded by sense objects, he will not be contaminated. And somebody is contaminated, even if he is living in a pure situation, he will find something to exploit. So therefore, our understanding, our foundational understanding has to be made very clear. That there has to be a feeling of desperation, I need to help him. Even though I know, I need to spend time with others, but he also requires that sympathy. Arre jaane de yaar, uska koi profit hai kya? When we speak this kind of words, as Bhakti Vishram Madhav Maharaj said, what is in will come out. So you may not give time, but at least your attitude should be like that. He also requires. One prayer, as we discussed yesterday, we are not able to do anything to Gaur Govind Prabhu. No, 90% devotees can't go and talk to him because we have our things. But at least we can pray. In Krishna consciousness, there are many things which you can do when you cannot do something. While you are not able to do something, there is also alternative of doing something. It is not blanket not doing anything. While you can't do something, there is something we can do. So do not delete that also along with not doing. Do something from your prayers, from the principle of attitude has to be there. That do not reject everything because they are difficult to deal with. That is the principle. And then Krishna will understand, and by our sincerity, even though they don't deserve it, they deserve to suffer because of their karma. And then Krishna will benefit them because of the prayers of a devotee. But if a devotee neglects, our hope is our seniors don't reject us. There is some kind of slight, hope. The day we are rejected, is Gaya Gujra, we are finished. So similarly, their hope is not themselves. They don't have hope. Their hope is we devotees. So if we reject them, remove this person from my life because it's so troublesome, so they have no hope. You may not give physical time, but you are aware, you are conscious. You have some part of your heart dedicated to them also. Then you receive higher blessings of Krishna and Guru. You may not spend time, 24 hours trying to preach to him, the 20th chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is actual waste of time.
Prabhuji, you were saying that a teacher has to give himself completely a preacher. At the same time, there was a principle of privacy for sadhu was discussed, that sadhu has to live a private life. It's a little always a puzzle in the mind.
No, okay. That is the Shastra. Sadhu has to have only private life, no public life.
So then how will he give completely himself?
Huh?
But how do you, like these two
things? When you live a private life, you don't enjoy feast every day. There is a tapasya, there is more japa. Your life is given to Krishna. You offered your life to Krishna. So where is the question of privacy there also? Even in private life, what are you doing as a sadhu? You're minimizing your sleep, minimizing your eating, minimizing your, thinking about yourself. There is no thinking about yourself, thinking about Krishna. When you think about Krishna, you don't think about yourself. I consciousness goes against Krishna consciousness. A living entity, conditioned soul, including a sadhaka, he's more absorbed analyzing himself, misunderstanding himself, thinking too much about himself, thinking too good about himself, thinking too pure about himself, thinking too much about how I've been abused, how I've been sidelined. So a living entity is so conscious about himself. So when a living entity is so conscious about himself, where is the question of having a private life? It's a distorted private life. Giving it to others means, for a sadhu, totally giving it to Krishna. Krishna and Guru. I'm talking about even the bhajanandis. The sadhus, the sannyasis, renunciates. They don't deal with materialistic people. They don't deal with people. They purify their heart with the intention of giving that vibration to the living entity. Therefore, even a common man, I've heard this many times, a common man says, अरे दुनिया इसीलिए चल रही क्योंकि साधु लोग तपस्या कर रहे हैं, उनके पुण्य के प्रभाव से हम लोग कुछ खा पी रहे. ऑर्डिनरी पर्सन, इवन इन इंडिया, पीपल फील लाइक दैट, एंड दैट इज ट्रू, दैट्स अ रियलिटी. देयरफॉर सच साधु इज लिविंग अ प्राइवेट लाइफ, हैज नो प्राइवेसी, बिकॉज इज ओपन इज हार्ट टू कृष्णा, इज ओपन इज इन अ होल, ही डजंट लिव अ लाइफ फॉर हिमसेल्फ, ही लिव्स लाइफ फॉर द लॉर्ड. सो सिमिलरली, वन हु इज लिविंग अ लाइफ फॉर पब्लिक वेलफेयर, which we are playing that role in this situation, where because there is no enough number of grihastha sadhus, if the grihastha sadhus also take that responsibility, at our place we have. No, we don't have to collect money. You don't have to maintain the temple. You don't have to worry about managing the temple. How much privacy has been given to you? Because of such grihastha sadhus, we have in our congregation, because of their sacrifice, they are willing to take so much of responsibility. Therefore, relatively, compared to many other places, you are actually able to live a life of a sadhu. Now, many places, brahmacharis have to go for marriages. It's like common thing, "Ole, main gaya tha shaadi mein." Why? Because they feel he has to come and bless. But now they know, they don't ask us. They have other blessings. Other sadhus will bless them. Other grihastha will bless them. Krishna Chandrabhu goes to somebody's 50th year's birthday after attending the Sunday festival at Mira Road, where he has no relationship also on a everyday, day-to-day basis. So he's doing that sacrifice. And then just to help his father, because Sunday all the drivers are off, then the son also goes to drive him back. And the son was saying, Priyavrat was saying, he said, "I feel so, it's a big shoes to put step in. The kind of responsibility, kind of behavior my father has." And he's finished his college, so he's becoming very, very sober. So he's only contemplating. I saw when we were coming back from the school, I hope this tape doesn't go to him, he'll be embarrassed. His daughter was standing looking at him, just like she looks at Maharaj, being marveled. This man is doing so much for others. So we need such more people, so that you'll get more privacy, so that you can be more purified, so that you can offer that purity to others. The Prabhupada had to do so many things which usually sadhu would not do, and Prabhupada writes about it. Why? Because there was nobody else. Grihasthas, the men, householders were busy making money and raising their children in a totally materialistic way in India, and hoping that it is all has to be done by those renunciates.
In this one thread I was having, actually, that you said that when you sacrifice for others, it gives you happiness. So when you preach and when you spend time with people, certainly it gives satisfaction. At the same time, we know that, like you said, it's a leisure, it's actually luxury to even get a few hours to read, like you were saying about yourself and Maharaj. So, but then person, the balance thing, like one thing is that community has to give privacy, which is like this grihastha sadhus are giving. And second thing, on our own, we should not, you know, we should be intelligent enough to, because that is giving positive.
No, basically we waste our time, that's all. There is enough time for us. At this place, there is enough time for brahmacharis to be purified and live private life. But we waste a lot of time, that's for sure. There is no question of complaining that I am doing more than my plate. We have been given enough facilities.
No, I'm asking wasting time means in which regard? Like, can you little elaborate? Facilities by point of view, I'm not asking.
Huh?
That's why I'm not asking from facility point of view, because that I already said that a lot of facilities there.
No, I'm generally from
on our own. How
from our? That's what I'm saying. The culturally, that you know, kind of. It's not that I'm not saying that we are lazy. People are busy working, doing a lot of service. Some people are doing service. They are doing, you know, 24/7. All the time busy. But still, even if we analyze very clearly that the facility what is offered by the congregation for us to purify our heart, it's a great luxury at this place. Nobody can deny this. Nobody can deny. You know, all that, no anxiety about money. Just imagine, just to maintain a preaching, there is absolutely no anxiety. So therefore, that luxury is there for us. You want to offer something very gorgeous for the deities. You just do it. You don't have to worry about, you know, where the money will come. You want to open a base. You don't have to worry. You have to do very less management. And biggest worry is money. If the money is not there, all your plan will remain a plan only. But if the money is there, all plan can be executed. And your worry is what? How to spend money. That's all. That is your worry. So therefore, if whole society increases the levels of grihastha sadhus, their number increases, who are, you know, living themselves less and living for others more, then that's how you get more and more privacy. Therefore, brahmachari should also make some grihastha sadhus. Not only very, only brahmachari sadhu. It's very beneficial for us. Very beneficial. That is my little understanding. So therefore, you know, now one has to act according to the situation. Things has to be done. One has to do the needful. So doing the needful means stretching beyond your ashram also a little bit. Without risking. Of course, without risking. Too much risk. Without taking too much risk. Now, sadhu basically should not eat food anywhere other than food offered to the deities. He cannot be eating anywhere. He cannot be having 10 cooks. You don't find any sadhus. The sampradaya sadhus, I am talking. The free liberal sadhus. There are See, we belong, we come to a sampradaya. So when you say sampradaya, in sampradaya there is more regulation. The free sadhus who live in Vrindavan, they beg and eat everywhere. The sampradayik sadhus, those are their ashram, those are their monasteries, like Madhva, Shankara, Nimbarka, Vishnu, Swami. Their style of, when you make a sampradaya, when you make an ashram, then you have more rules and regulation. Because you are living in a safe place. Then you can't have the facility of a monastery, but you still live a life of a hippie, eating here, eating there, eating iske ghar pe jao, uske ghar pe jao, uske khana wali mein jao, iske hotel mein jao. That is only sadhu can do, a free sadhu. You understand? So when you live in a monastery, you have a rules. Then you can't act in the best of the both worlds. You cannot have it. A sadhu one who is not living in any ashram or a place, only way he can sustain himself is like begging. So, ultimately onus is on us. That the facilities are provided. Plenty of facilities provided. Nobody can say that I don't get to read. We are not doing as much as Prabhupada disciples did in regards to sacrifice. They were actually unreasonable in their, you know, sacrifice. To the extent people in the name of sacrifice almost They never imagine it would happen. No, because of their sacrifice, they had to give up their ashram, give up their sannyas life also, taking such a risk. We don't have to. You know, like today's class, I would not, there is no need to speak in our temple, because no ladies will approach. Like Bharat Murudang Prabhu gave a lecture in Ujjain. You know, he was talking about how women, how a brahmachari should not talk to women. He said, you don't worry about it. He said, you behave properly, women will stay away from you. He said, they will not talk to you. If you behave nicely, they will not come and talk to you. He said, that you don't have to worry. But hey, only where there is no culture, a brahmachari grossly offends women. Hey, don't talk to me. While he is interested in talking. But he is also interested in offense. But when there is a proper culture, you don't have to. None of the ladies will come. Even if you talk to them, they will complain to the authority. Hey, bahut jyada baat karte. Yeah, seriously. This happened here. This happens. If you go overboard, go beyond your limits, they are there to tell you. You know, we don't appreciate this kind of behavior. You correct this brahmachari. So that is our good fortune. You don't have to tell anybody. Including the golden avatar also. She doesn't bother any one of us. Doesn't bother any one of us. Why? Because the culture is forcing. Like, you know, one very big industrialist's wife. She told, she appreciated certain behavior. Now we expect that she's a modern woman, and she is a modern woman. But when some devotees talk, like, you know, she told Sankirtan Babu when he was talking to her, she told to another devotee, he said, he has a culture, huh? He doesn't look only when he's talking. She didn't complain. She didn't say that as a complaint. She said that as an appreciation. Let's see. In the West, if you don't look into their eyes, roll along with their eyes, they feel offended. What is this? You know, at least acknowledge our presence. But here, a lady is saying, you know, he would not even look at me. So nice about him. So that we don't have to worry also here. You know, no Mataji, 99%. Maybe in Chaitanya lecture we may have to give because new people will come. Although we don't have to worry. Not much trouble. So all facilities are there. Time okay? 12:45. Srila Prabhupada ki. 1 minute prayer.